Welcome to the Glow Up Girl podcast, the show that brings you inspiring guests who share practical tips, as well as the highs and lows of their business, entrepreneurial, and personal journeys. We are more than a podcast. We are a supportive community where women can come together to learn, share, connect, and uncover our ultimate glow ups. I'm Kyra Mitchell Lewis, your host, and thank you all for joining. How's everyone doing? Happy Thursday to you. I hope the week is going well for you. We're just doing it. We're chugging along over here. Life is happening, you know, but we're embracing all the things that come. I think that's really important. And that's definitely something that I want to make sure that I am constantly saying to not to myself, but then also to you, my people out there, my community. All of us we're in it together. And we know that challenges come, you know, they always, as long as you live, there will be something, right? But just embracing those things and making sure that we learn is, I definitely am always trying to figure out like what was that lesson? What was the nugget I was supposed to take away? So either way, see, that's your nugget for today for me. As I like to tell people, that's my 25 cents, okay? Like sometimes you get 89, sometimes you get 90, sometimes you get a dollar, right? But today I got 25 for you. All right, so let's get to the guest for today. My guest today is Dana Diaz. She is an author and a voice for victims of abuse. She's also a wife, a mother, and as I mentioned, a best-selling author. And her book is called Gasping for Air, The Stranglehold of Narcissistic Abuse. Dana has had a long life experience with narcissistic abuse beginning in her childhood. Her education in journalism and psychology at DePaul University in Chicago gave her the ability to accurately verbalize and express how narcissistic abuse creates confusion and conflict within victims so that she can help other victims know that they are not alone and better understand their circumstances. Today, Dana is a proud voice for fellow victims who are unable, afraid, or ashamed to share their experiences. She strives to create awareness and understanding to ensure victims are given the support they need to first understand their situation and then begin the healing process. In her first book, she chronicles her abusive marriage that lasted nearly three decades. It started as a journal that she hid under the couch cushion in the basement. So, Dana's going to join me to talk about her personal experience with narcissistic abuse, really that moment of being able to break free, talking about her healing, and also how she is helping other women, others, people who are dealing with narcissistic abuse. So stay tuned. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Glow Up Girl podcast. All right, let's welcome Dana to the show. Welcome, Dana.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Yes. Well, why don't we get started by having you tell the audience listening or watching who you are and what you do?
I'm just me. That's who I am. I'm just like everyone else. I'm a mother of a 20-year-old. I am married to a wonderful man. I have two cats that may or may not fight while we're on this podcast, but I'm just living my life. I've just had an unfortunate 45 years of narcissistic abuse that I dealt with that I'm now free from for the last 3.5 years. And I have felt that it's my duty and responsibility now that I have kind of, you know, begun the healing process from that and really understood it. And I've written a book about my former marriage of 25 years that I endured multiple abuses by my narcissistic ex, who also struggled with alcohol addiction. I just feel it's my responsibility to let people know what this looks like, because it's not easy to spot. And it's not easy if you're a victim of it to even realize what's going on, because you're so unfazed by it. So I'm just that regular person that's trying to bring it all to light and get people to understand it, you know, in an easy way so that they can maybe recognize these things in their own lives or in the lives of the people that they love.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dana, for that introduction and just for also being that voice and being transparent with what you have gone through and how your healing journey looks. Because like you said, some people may not know that they are experiencing narcissistic abuse, but also just somebody might be listening and saying, oh my gosh, like, I'm so glad there's a person who can talk about it and be open. So thank you for that. And also, if your fur babies show up, hey, we love them. We love when they show up here. I definitely had to close mine out this morning because he just always shows up. And then we've got like these dogs that come out in the morning and it's like a sparring. They're like,
oh, no.
So let's start. Let's kind of go to the basics of what is a narcissist to just begin the conversation.
Yeah, that's a good place to start because it's a term that people misuse or misinterpret. Narcissist actually comes from the Greek name of the god Narcissus, who liked to look at his reflection in the water because he loved how he looked. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. We see these people on social media in their bikinis or with their abs or with their lash, whatever. And they really do look as good as they think they do. We cannot hate on that. They might be a little annoying sometimes because they look way too good and we wish we looked like them. But there's nothing wrong with that. The narcissists that we have to worry about are what we call malignant narcissists. And I always tell people it's kind of like tumors. You can have a benign tumor, like those people we see on social media that love the way they look. It's there, may or may not bother you, but it's not harming you in any way. No worries. The malignant tumor, though, like the malignant narcissists, they are intentionally causing you problems. They might even kill you, honestly, and they need to be removed. There's no other way around it. So that's what we're dealing with. It's somebody who has to fulfill their ego. They have to feel this idea of superiority and being better than everybody because, honestly, they don't feel it themselves. You know, some of the narcissists on social media have a very healthy self-esteem, but when people get malignant, when they get abusive in the way that they seek to have admiration and praise, it's because they don't think very highly of themselves. So they want other people to reflect that back to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. And I love the example that you provided because I think it is like it should do, if nothing else, it should make you just pay attention more and just sort of look for the signs that because I know we're joking, we're saying it about a person on social media, but it could be a part of like a broader issue, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just making sure that you're looking for the signs. So Dana, when we talk about abuse and narcissistic abuse, how is that different from other forms?
So what makes it different is it's all inclusive. We all know what physical abuse is, verbal abuse, you know, all these different abuses. Narcissist abuse is exactly what it sounds like. It's when a narcissist abuses you. So they are using any and all forms of abuse. So you might experience physical, verbal, emotional, legal, sexual, financial, you know, anything they can do. They even employ military tactics that our military used in Guantanamo Bay. Like these are like war hostage acts that people are using in their homes against their children, against their spouses. That's not normal behavior. And it's antisocial and psychotic behavior. It is intentionally causing harm to another human being, which in itself is just, if anyone has a moral compass, that's just wrong. You know, whether you like somebody or not, or agree with them or not, you don't intentionally harm them. You know, so when somebody that's saying they love you is doing all these things to you, just so that they can feel better about themselves, we have a big problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Now, we just talked about someone who may show some signs of narcissism, I should say. But are all narcissists abusive. What do you think about that?
No, not at all. Not even close. Like I said, some of them are just who they are. And it actually goes on a spectrum where we go from the one end where people just really have a healthy self-esteem and like how they look all the way to that other end, which are the people that are, you know, we're seeing on true crime shows that they've murdered their spouse for whatever reason. And honestly, you know, over 20%, and I'd argue it's higher, but over 20% of our male U.S. prison population are identified as narcissists. But people need to understand that not all narcissists are abusive, and you can have narcissistic qualities without being a narcissist. I always say it's like when you go to the doctor and say, oh, I have a sore throat. It could be COVID. It could be strep throat. It could be bronchitis. It could be, I mean, we could list a million. It could just be a sore throat. So just because somebody acts in a certain way doesn't necessarily mean they're a narcissist. Case in point being that most victims of abuse have qualities about them, have behaviors that can be interpreted as being narcissistic, but they're not narcissistic. For example, like I experienced abuse in my childhood and then at 25 I formed. So I can sometimes feel situation, not because I'm trying to be the other person, but because for me, it gives me a sense of safety to know what to expect and to know what's happening and to have some predictability. So, you know, like I said, it's kind of like having that sore throat. It may be just what it is. It may just be that quality, but it doesn't make somebody narcissistic. And what we have to look at to kind of figure that out is just look at the intent. Is somebody trying to hurt you or harm in some way with this, or are they just what they are? You know, because we're all different. So, you know, if somebody's trying to harm you on purpose, hurt you in some way, not a good situation.
Right. Okay. What would you say are some of the mental and physical effects of narcissistic abuse?
Oh, there's so many. Obviously, narcissists, the way that they sort of, I always say it felt like being caged. But in order to get somebody to, you know, to go along with things, they have to kind of break you down. So it's in the comments and in nonverbal gestures. It could be the way they glare at you or a snide remark they say, but then they say they're just joking. But all these things diminish you. Every little bit, they just chip away at your spirit and chip away at who you are. So you begin to feel insecure. You begin to question things. You begin to wonder, you know, how you even feel about yourself. So your self-esteem goes down. You fall into depression. You have anxiety because, you know, people say you're walking on eggshells with a narcissist. I say it's like walking through a minefield because something is blowing up over here. You don't have time to process it before something is blowing up over there and you stepped on the wrong thing. You did the wrong thing. You said the wrong thing. They're disapproving of you everywhere you turn, you know, and so it's very, it's just chaotic and it creates that same chaos in your mind. And eventually, like what happened to me, and one of my reasons that I speak out so firmly about it is because I ended up after it took 45 years, but mine manifested physically. I didn't even know what was wrong, but I dropped in 2 weeks. I dropped down to skeletal 93 pounds. I couldn't breathe. I had about 24 random symptoms that went from neurological, cardiovascular, muscular, digestive. My entire body was in havoc. It took a year of testing and seeing every specialist for them to figure out that cortisol, which is a stress hormone that runs through your body when you're feeling anxious and you're in that fight or flight mode. I had so much of it. I had four times the amount that should be running through my system constantly. My white blood cells thought it had to eradicate something. So it killed themselves off. So I was autoimmune. I also developed a lung disease that the doctors say is like having COPD and fibromyalgia all at once. Mm-hmm. So I was a very sick woman. And the only thing that was going to save me, it wasn't going to be a pill or a surgery. They said, you have to, whatever. It was a neurologist. I mean, this is a man who would know if there was a way to cure me. And he's like, no, whatever is causing you all this stress, it's got to go. It is literally like poison in your life. And the miraculous thing was that after my divorce and after enduring the two incidents of domestic violence after the divorce, when everything calmed down, it was like I was cured. You know, am I cured? Mm-hmm. No, it's irreversible, all of this stuff. But I don't have the symptoms. I've gained the weight back. My nervous system is settling. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people realize that stress really can kill you. Mm-hmm. You think you're doing something noble, staying in the situation for your kids and, you know, your families and all this. But if something is making you physically sick, listen to it. Because now that I've been in this realm and talked to a lot of people who've been through some kind of abusive relationship, it's so common. I've seen they're autoimmune, many of them. They have MS, they have fibromyalgia, they have all these chronic illnesses. So it started with me with migraines and stomach aches in my childhood. Don't ignore that stuff. Don't ignore it, and don't let your doctors call you a hypochondriac. Listen to your body because it's telling you something.
Mm. Yes, I definitely couldn't agree more with you on that. Thank you so much for just being so transparent about what you went through, because I do think a lot of times people, I think you said a couple of things that really stood out. Obviously, it's like don't be noble, you know, and don't stay in something that is unhealthy for you and that doesn't feel good, does not benefit you from a mental or physical, right, you know, space. But then the second thing, you know, really is listen to your body. Like, it's not going to tell you a lie. If there's something off, even if nobody believe, if your doctor, yes, doesn't, keep going, keep talking to people,
yes,
because someone will listen to you and someone will be able to help you. So I'm definitely glad that you were able to, to turn a corner, because you could have just kept going. You could have just, yeah, stayed and put yourself in further harm's risk. But as you begin to turn the page, I mean, I know that your healing process is an ongoing one, because you, yeah, were in it for a while. But,
yeah,
for anybody who might be wondering, you know, how do you even begin the process of healing?
You know, I didn't even realize I was beginning the process of healing when I did, but I just started with myself, because I think people can relate, especially even if all you're doing is getting a divorce, never mind everything else. Mm-hmm. You know, finances are a little slim. You know, I was suddenly at 45, a single mother with a kid that was a senior in high school, ready to, already accepted to go to school in Wyoming. And, you know, of course, my ex signed off his kid. He didn't want any custody. He didn't want partial custody. He didn't even want visitation. He didn't want any financial responsibility to this kid. So it was all on me, stressful enough. But what I had to do when he was out of the picture and I'm alone is, I had to kind of look at myself and be like, what do I want? Like, I've always done what I needed to keep him appeased, you know, and to keep things at bay and to keep things calm for me and my sanity and my kid and some normalcy and stability for him. And just asking myself that simple question, it started with asking it broadly, like, what do I want as far as like life now that I'm alone? And I have this kid who is about to leave me. What do I want? What do I want my life to look like? And I knew right away what I wanted. And we all know deep down what we want. We don't have to ponder on it. Like, for me, yeah, I wanted to use the degree that I got in journalism and my education, mm-hmm, in psychology. I always had wanted to help victims of abuse ever since I was a kid and was an abused kid. I wanted to be married, even just not to this guy, because he wanted me dead. He told me he didn't like me. I mean, he clearly hated me. I wanted to be in a reciprocal, loving relationship. You know, I wanted to travel. I wanted to do these things. So we can all ask ourselves, what do I want? And I think it's really important that to ask yourself that, because once you see what you want, once you think about it, it'll never leave your mind. Once you're able to give yourself permission to see that, you're going to start thinking, oh, yeah, I do want to travel. Where would I travel to? Yeah, mm-hmm, I do want to go to Italy or whatever, the Bahamas, whatever it is. And then you're going to start thinking, maybe you might do a search on the internet and entertain that. But you start enacting the goals, you know, the steps towards those goals, even without thinking about it, just unconsciously. You might bring it up in a conversation. You might, you know, like I said, search the internet. But those are good, positive things. And then down to, what do I want? Like, I remember when my ex was gone, like, what do I want for dinner? I didn't know what I want for dinner because nobody ever asked me. It was always about him and what he wanted, you know, and what he decided. You know, I can't have two carbs. I can't have two of the same meats on two consecutive nights. It was all these rules about dinner even. I was like, I don't even know where to start. Like, maybe I just want ice cream for dinner. Like, I'm just going to have ice cream. That sounds really good. So it's just about indulging yourself and giving yourself permission to feel what you feel, to think what you want to think, to entertain the ideas about what you want in life without the bounds and restrictions that others put on you. Because once you can stand more authentically and as who you are, you're going to attract the people into your life that love that, that are interested in those same things, and that see something that they are wanting to be a part of. Because I think when you're in that confusion of being in, you know, living that life and playing that role of what somebody else has decided you're going to be and decided what you're going to do, you lose yourself. And you can't expect other people to even want to connect with you if they don't, you know. I just likened it to somebody else. I said, it's like walking into the grocery store and, you know, just saying, give me whatever you want to give me in a bag versus this is what I came to the grocery store for and this is what I want. Nobody's going to go home, you know, whether in a friend relationship or a romantic relationship with whatever's in the bag. They want it that, you know, there is something like, I have a taste for pasta. I'm going to get some pasta. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be something for something to be attracted to that. So you have to be you, because somebody is going to love you exactly as who you are. Even if you were not enough for this person or too much for that person, you are exactly just right for somebody out there.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. All right. Let's transition to your book.
Yes.
So you wrote a book called Gasping for Air, The Stranglehold of Narcissistic Abuse. So let's talk about, you know, you coming to a point to writing this book, and how did writing the book help you in the healing process?
Oh, it was tremendously helpful. I've never been a huge fan of talk therapy. and I feel that I'm not trying to persuade anybody against that. I think it just takes a really knowledgeable person, somebody specializing in trauma and abuse, to deal with the kind of therapy that somebody coming out of an abusive situation needs. And I had not had that kind of resource where I lived. But for me, writing, I mean, naturally, I have a degree in journalism. I always like to write. But my book actually came from a journal that I started keeping. The last 6 months of my marriage, my first marriage, unfortunately, right about when I decided I was officially done and I wanted to file for divorce, the attorney I spoke with gave me some homework that, you know, to prepare for filing. And then we went into the shelter in place for COVID. So I was stuck in the house with this man who wanted me dead. Could not file for divorce because the courts were closed, could not go anywhere, could not leave, could not work. Like it was, you know, almost as if the universe was playing a joke on me, except it wasn't funny. It was almost like the survivor, like who's going to get out of this alive? I was worried that he was going to do something to me and make it look like an accident. And so I started keeping a journal, just writing down the date. And this is what he said. This is what he texted me. This is what he, you know, whatever happened. I just wrote down a brief summary. I had to hide that journal under the basement couch, but I was sleeping on the basement couch because there was I didn't trust him enough to even sleep next to him in our bed. I just could not do it. I was done. I just wanted to be out of that. So when everything was over, you know, and we finally, the courts reopened, everything goes back to normal as far as the pandemic, I did go ahead and take that journal out and I'm looking at it. And I was just, it was hard for me because I think when you see the words on paper, when it's outside of you and separate from you, I'm reading these things like, if I had a daughter or a friend or any, you know, and I knew this stuff was going on, oh my gosh, I would be going over there, packing her crap up myself and getting her the hell out of there. And I'm like, how could I stay? Like, it was so sad to me and baffling that I stayed. So, and then the aspect that I was physically ill, that I now have irreversible illnesses as a result of all these things. I'm like, there has to be somebody else out there that's enduring this. And I want them to know that they're not alone. And I want them to understand it the way that I was starting to understand it. So I started elaborating. That's what became the book. And I'm happy that other people have found, you know, some comfort in knowing they're not alone. I'm happy that I've been able to affect, you know, other women, motivate them to leave those relationships or at least be aware of what they have decided and chosen for themselves and their children. But for me, writing it and rewriting it and going even through the editing process with the publisher was asking me questions as she was reading, you know, the book, like, oh, well, in this spot, you know, delve more into that, or can you explain more how you felt there? And so, like, having to go back and be right. that much more introspective and really dig beneath the surface, it made me get more in touch with those feelings. And it made me, you know, I definitely had psychosomatic symptoms. It was stressful. That's the one thing I tell people. You think that healing is you go to therapy and one day you're sleeping and your magic fairy godmother sprinkles fairy dust on you and you wake up happy and skipping and it's sunshine and rainbows. No, it's not at all how it is. You know, the ground opens up and the spawns of hell drag you into it. And it's awful and nasty. And it almost re-traumatizes you. But if you surround yourself with people, even just one person that makes you feel safe, that soothes you, that doesn't judge, that doesn't try to, you know, tell you how to feel, that just gives you the free mind and physical space to be, so you can kind of wrap your head around everything that happened. Once you can begin to understand it, that's when you will start to heal. Because I think where people are unhealed is that they internalize it and they think, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? I'm broken. No, you are not broken and you are not damaged. You are not any of those things. You are affected by the things people did to you and said to you, but you are not broken or damaged. You know, we all have it. I could pick up an apple and accidentally drop it on the ground and it's bruised up a little bit, but it's still a good apple and I'm still going to eat it. You know, you just got to work out those bruised parts and they're not going to always taste the best, but you know what? It's still an apple. Just like a person is still a whole person, even if they have some scars on their heart. So, you know, I want people to really understand that healing's not nice. You have to really do the work. You can't just expect to go to therapy and suddenly be better. You have to actually practice the tools to self-regulate. You have to practice the tools to react to things differently so that you learn to not react to them at all. You know, it's just relearning life and it's hard, but if you do the work, your quality of life is going to be so much better.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for that. And I think it's really important that you do stress doing the work. And I think no matter the case of people who go to therapy, a lot of people do think it's like, oh, I'm going to go for a couple of times and then everything's going to be great. And it's like you said, it is it is doing the work. It's using the tools and it takes time. No, yes. So no matter what you're dealing with, but if you're not going to invest to do the work, then it will never get better.
Correct. So, and it never ends. I think we're always on the healing journey. We're always learning and growing. And that's all that life should be.
Yeah. It's a definite commitment to growth.
Yes. 100%.
Awesome. Well, why don't you tell everybody out there how they can purchase your book and also connect to you?
Yeah, of course. My book is available anywhere books are sold online, but you can certainly go to my website, danasdiaz.com. It's danasdiaz.com. The link for the first book is there. If you sign up to be on the email list, you'll get a notification when the next two books come out, because there will be a prequel coming out later this year that talks about that childhood that basically primed me to be in this, you know, abusive marriage. And then there will be a sequel coming out probably early next year, which talks a little bit more about this healing stuff and how I came to remarry and you know, dive into that. And there's also another villainous narcissist that comes into play that I never saw coming. You'd think I'd know by now what to look for. And I did, but this person caught me off guard. But definitely links to social media are on there, Facebook, Instagram. I have a blog. This podcast will be on there. And I do urge anybody listening, if you are in a situation that you are aware of somebody being in a toxic relationship or think they might be, please share the link to this episode because it might resonate with them. As opposed to you confronting them about it and making them feel ashamed about, you know, basically subscribing to the life that they're living. But this podcast might resonate and they might think to make a change after that. So please, please, please share this episode.
Thank you. And I think also too, just one last thing on what you said too, it's just important to remember to give yourself grace. Because like you said, even if you know the signs, you've seen it. I mean, I think you said something very, very simple and that hits home at the beginning is that we're human.
Yeah.
We're all human. So we're still humans. We still give people grace. And so you go into situations expecting the best and looking for the best in people. And sometimes it doesn't turn out that way. So I just want to make sure that everybody remembers that. Remember to give yourself grace in the journey.
Absolutely.
All right. So now we are going to shift to three things with Dana. I'm going to ask you three questions that just helps our audience get to know you a little bit better. So the first question is a two-parter. It is, how do you start and end the day?
Oh, easy. I like structure. Being a victim of trauma and abuse, I like structure. Start the day. I literally, when I open my eyes, the first thing I do is give my husband a kiss, whether it's on the cheek or if his back is to me, I give him a kiss on his shoulder, whatever, because I am so thankful every day to have this beautiful man in my life that is gentle and patient and forgiving and teaches me so much. So I give him a kiss, I get out of bed, and boy, I start that coffee and I do the Italian dark roast, you know, that strong stuff that really gets you going. That's it. I mean, I definitely get a workout in of some sort, whether it's to take a walk or, you know, do some weights or whatever, you know, watch some TV while I'm doing that. So it occupies my mind, but then I get going for the day. Then I go try to save the world and save other women and do what I got to do. Ending the day, I go back to just kind of winding down. You know, I think it's important, especially for somebody like me. I'm an overthinker. I'm a ruminator. My mind's constantly going, but I need it to calm so I can sleep because it's taken me over 3 years for my nervous system to calm so that I can sleep at night. So, you know, once it's about dinner time, my husband gets home. The one big thing is I like to be present. Bones are down. We're talking to each other, catching up on the day. And, you know, then we get ready for bed after dinner and we lay down and we usually watch some TV and we might challenge ourselves to some game that we both have on our phones, you know, because I always like to win, even though he thinks he's better than me. But, you know, it's always nice to have that little fun competition. But I just think it's just about getting going, doing what's best for your mind and body in the beginning and doing what's best for your mind and body at the end. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. All right. Second question. What's a goal or intention that you've set for yourself this year?
Well, the two books that I have written, the prequel and the sequel to Gasping for Air, my main focus this year is getting those done and published. But there's also this little, many people have urged me to do a TED talk. So I feel like that's a little bit, it's a little more than I feel like I'm ready for at the moment, but I'm excited. I want to challenge myself, and I'm not afraid to fail, or I don't think I could fail, but to not be the best. But I think that's something that I'm going to put up there on the shelf and kind of think about once these books are done, is trying to, you know, put together a talk for that. So that'll be exciting.
Nice. All right. And last question is, what's a book, a podcast, a show, or anything that's inspiring you at the moment?
Oh, that's a lot. A book, a podcast, or a show.
Or anything.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think because there's so many. I'll go backwards. Honestly, I know you just asked me for one, but I am obsessed with Married at First Sight. It's a show on Lifetime. I love the premise of it, but boy, it can get really goofy. But I think you learn a lot watching people, you know, go through that, you know, that process of the premise of the show is to that these matchmakers put people together and they don't meet. They don't even know each other's name until they're at the altar getting married, and they go on a honeymoon and they're forced to live together, and you kind of see how it unfolds. But it's fascinating to me from a psychological perspective to kind of put myself in their shoes and see, like, what would I do in that situation? Or, ooh, I didn't like how they handled that, because it does make you kind of think about your own life and how you would handle those things. And maybe you have handled those things. But yeah, it's really cool to watch behaviors of people.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know about you, but I feel like this last season, this Denver season, has been like the longest season ever. I was like, when did this start? It's like it started last year and like end of October. And I'm like, and it's still going? Like,
and it's like yeah. And it's been the most destructive, honestly. Yeah. Like, I have never seen so many people just be done with each other so quickly.
It's definitely been like, maybe let's take a time out and let's reset. Let's reset this whole like franchise. Well, I want to thank you, Dana, for joining the show today and for, again, sharing with this community and being so transparent and honest about your journey. So one last thing I'm going to ask of you before I let you go is, what are three things you'd like the audience to take away from our conversation today?
Three things. I would say, number one, listen to your gut. Because your gut is usually right. You don't have to have any reasonable outward explanations for how you feel or why you like or don't like somebody. Listen to your gut. I promise it's telling you something. Second thing is, listen to your body. If you are having physical reactions, like, you know, if you're really, really nervous around somebody, like anxiously nervous, just not, you know, maybe your energies just don't match. They're not your person, you know? And I think that the third thing is just to be aware that, unfortunately, just because you are blood related to people does not mean they're your people. You know, toxic people can come in the form of family, coworkers, friends, unfortunately, our husbands, wives, even our kids, as much as, you know, as awful as that is to admit. But you know, if somebody is toxic to you, they're toxic, and you know, don't let anybody tell you, oh, but that's family, that's your blood. I'm not trying to break up families, but you have to watch out for you. You have to take care of your physical and mental health, and sometimes that involves removing yourself or limiting your time around certain people. So just be aware of how you feel around certain people. It's not you, it's not them, it's just what is.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Again, I want to thank you for the time today, and I wish you all the success in the world. Good luck on with the rest of your books.
Thank you.
And you can always come back here to Glow Up Girl in the future to share.
Wonderful. I look forward to it.
Awesome. Well, stay tuned, everyone. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Glow Up Girl podcast. I want to thank Dana for joining the show today. If you'd like to learn more about Dana, check out the links in the show notes. If you'd like to learn more about Glow Up Girl, you can visit us at glowupgirl.com. Also, there are links in the show notes as well about us. Check out our podcast, past podcast episodes. Sign up for our email newsletter. Grab some fantastic resources in our Youvolution section and more. So also, if you are listening on a platform where you can leave a review or rate the show, please do. Really love when I get to read your reviews. If you'd like to watch this episode, you can head over to our YouTube channel. We are at Glow Up Girl. Make sure you go there, you like, comment, and subscribe. And then also, we are a community that shares. So if you think there are people in your network who these episodes will resonate with, or this podcast, make sure you share them with your friends, family, coworkers. Don't keep all this goodness to yourself, because you know what? Sharing is caring. And then also, if you are sharing any of our digital content on social media, make sure you tag us. We love to see that as well. If you are new to the Glow Up Girl community, welcome, first of all, and thank you. Thanks for joining. All right. So I think that's it for the day, my friends. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. I want to also thank you again for the support. Thank you for taking time out of your schedules to come over and share in this space, in this community with us. If you want to reach out to me, send me an email at hello@glowupgirl.com, or you can send a DM on Instagram at glowupgirl there as well. So, all right, I'm done. Thank you all again for joining me today, and I will see you all next week. So until then, stay focused, fab, and glow up. Take care, everyone.